faithfulness. Thank you for your willingness to be with us. You had such a desire to be with us that you send your Son to die in our place, to make a way for us to reconnect with the Father and be in a relationship with the Father. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you that you are not distant, but you are with us. As we turn to your word, we ask that you would come and speak to our hearts, and we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last few weeks, there's been complaints about my preaching. Not that it's too long, apparently it's too short. So I'll work on that this morning. It's more from the children's church side. So just a heads up on that side, they do want to finish their lesson. They're not there to play with the kids. So if the sermon or the message or the service does end a little bit earlier, which will probably not happen today, just be mindful of that. That's their church. They are busy with God there. And just as you would not want to be disturbed, they do not want to be disturbed. So, reigning in life. And this ministry moment that happened just now was not prearranged, but it could just as easily have happened after the message. So, if you came out for ministry, this message is for you. If maybe you did not feel like responding, but there's still some things that stirred in your heart, and this message is for you. We are called to reign in life. If you've not figured this out yet, life is difficult. Life is tough. There are challenges. And yet God clearly says that because of Jesus Christ, because he came in the place of Adam, he undid what Adam did. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? We're given a promise that we are to reign in life. But to get there, we need to go through this word, patience. Patience is not a fun word. Not much in our daily life is set up or geared towards patience. So I want to take you back to the book of Samuel, and we're probably going to do the last part of the whole first book of Samuel. And that's a part where there's a gap. There's a gap between David being anointed and David actually getting to rule and reign in his kingdom that's promised to him. There's a gap. There's a pretty big gap. We don't know exactly how big that gap is. We do know that David was 30 years old when he became the king of Judah. Took another 5 chapters into 2 Samuel for him to become the king over the whole of Israel. So even there's a gap. Something he had to be patient with. Now, most scholars agree that David was probably around 13, 15, somewhere there, when he was anointed as king. He was a young boy in the field watching the sheep. No one thought anything of him. And in that moment, God calls him, anoints him to be king. There's still another king, Saul, reigning. God has already taken the kingdom away from Saul. We looked at that last week. He's anointed, but he doesn't get to step into that immediately. So let's just average it out. 15 years. 15 years is a fairly long time to wait. He doesn't get to wait in the laps of luxury. Although he does start out pretty good. He goes to kill Goliath and defeat the enemy, win a big battle for the Israelites. That was pretty good. He got back home and they were singing, Saul defeated his 10,000s, but David's his 10,000s. That's pretty good. He got to be in the king's inner circle. He got to work in the palace, be around the king, minister to the king with his harp when he had need. And yet the next moment, when he looked up, there was a spear coming for him and he had to duck. And that pretty much sets the tone for the next couple of years. He has to flee. He has to run for his life, literally. He gets to live in the wilderness, in the difficult places. 10, 15, 12, however many years. We don't know exactly. But there is some good news. There are some men that want to gather around him. And they come together to be with him. He says, then others began coming. Men who were in trouble. Men who were in debt. Those who were discontent. Until finally David was the captain of 400 men. 400 discontent, indebted, running from their own troubles, lives. He gets to be their leader. See, David writes, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with my anguish or the anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eye, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat and say, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. See, David cries out to God. He expresses his feelings and his emotions. He's real with God. That is what he's going through every single day. And yet in the midst of that, he continues to declare, God, you are faithful. I will turn my eyes to you. I will find my hope and my strength in you. During this time, David does what kings are supposed to do. He hears that the town of Keilah has been captured by the Philistines. They've come in and they've just taken the grain and they've wrecked the town, taken over everything. And he does what a king is supposed to do. He goes and he rescues them. He asks God, God, should I go down? He says, yes. His men begin to say, we're not very sure. The whole Philistine army is there. Should we really go? They ask again. Yes, we should go. He inquires of God in the midst of the wilderness, and he does what a king is supposed to do. And after rescuing them, they betray him. And they let Saul know where he is so Saul can again attack. You see, living in the gap is not fun. Living between the promise and the fulfillment is not fun. But there is always a gap between the promise of God and the fulfillment of that promise.
Good morning, everyone. I have a privilege to speak to you about instant gratification, right? Now, we live in a world that thrives on it. Everything needs to be done now, whether it is social media or Takealot taking 8 days, we want them to do it in 2 days, right? We want everything now. And we can no longer live in this world where we wait for letters to come, right? In the past, we used to send letters, well, not we, the old people, used to send letters to their friends from across the world, right? And it would take months and months for you to get a reply, and you wouldn't even know whether your letter got there or not, right? You wouldn't even get instant response. Now we've got WhatsApp with the blue tick. So now you know when people received your letter. You know when they don't want to write back, right? And that's the one side of it. That's the communication, the social media. And then we have information galore, right? So we have this running joke in our friend group where me and some of the guys like Dion and James, we would talk about a topic and we would discuss it among ourselves, right? And then I would throw my facts in there and Dion would throw his facts and James his facts. And as we discuss these things, we'll get to a point where we're not too sure who's right and who's wrong. And then we'll try to reason with each other. Okay, I understand your point, but you're still wrong. And I believe I'm right in this, and you believe you're right in that. And then, whoop, comes Anani with the Google. She Googles it, she's like, actually, this is what Google says, right? And it's such a blessing to have that, because we can continue our discussion based on the facts that we've just received, based on the information and the knowledge we've just received, right? instead of having to go to a library and spending hours and hours reading books that they might not even have, and then reading books that might not even be related to what we're discussing. So instead of spending hours and hours, we instantly get a billion results to any kind of information that we want to need, right? So it is just insane how lucky we are, and we don't even realize that we live this way. It's become so normal to us, right? But everything we've done in our lives to improve our quality of life has made us impatient, right? I want to read from us from James 1, verse 3 to 4, all right? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, just as Auntie Camille said a bit earlier. For those who are going through that tough time, you know your faith is being tested, but now your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfected and complete, lacking nothing. Right? Endurance requires patience. You cannot have patience if you don't have patience, right? Let's go look at Moses' life, okay? So this guy lived for 120 years, which is pretty old, right? For the first 40 years of his life, he was in Egypt. The 40 years after, he was in exile, and then the last 40 years, still in exile, but he was hiking. 40-year hike is a long hike. I can do 5Ks and I'm done. That boy must have had calves for days. But for 120 years, he was waiting, all right? The first 40 years of his life, he waited to become Pharaoh. But he never became Pharaoh, right? So he might have been patient, and he might have been waiting for God to do something, but he waited for something that wasn't his to begin with, and so he never received it. So maybe some of us here, we wait for things that we expect of God, but it's not for us. In the second 40 years of his life, he was raising sheep, right? And during this time, what God is God prepared him for his new purpose. He didn't know he was being prepared. He didn't know he was going to have to hike with hundreds and thousands of Jews through a desert. He practiced on the sheep, right? So he didn't know that he was practicing, but God was practicing him, and God was using him, and God was, through this period of endurance, he was being perfected. He was being made complete for his new purpose. And then in the last 40 years, he wandered the desert, and he didn't even enter the promised land. Now, personally, it's just Mark speaking. If I was hiking and waiting for 120 years, I would at least just want to see, you know, just peek over the river, just look through the bushes, just to see the promised land. But Moses didn't even get that. But the important part is he was disobedient. So he might have been patient, but he was disobedient. Because there was a time where God said to him, speak to the rock so the water can come out of it. And he smacked the rock with a stick. Now, he reverted to his own way of understanding, to his own way of doing things. Because in the past, he hit a rock and then water came out, and now he needs to hit it again. He didn't trust God. And he might have waited, he might have been patient, but he still was disobedient. And because of that, he was unable to enter the promised land, just because of the disobedience. So I want to end off with saying that endurance requires patience, and patience requires obedience, right? As we spoke about last week, Pastor Craig spoke about the obedience. You cannot endure if you're not obedient first, because obedience leads to patience. Patience leads to endurance, and endurance leads to you being completed and perfected. All right. Did I make my point clear? All right. Thank you so much.
So the next slide is called Faith and Patience. And last night when I was cooking supper, I realized that this is the perfect pivot into Mark and Unaldo. We need to be patient with them, or we can have faith in them. And depending on however this session gone, this would have been the perfect answer to that. By the way, they just got yesterday, they got their results for their honors. Well done. They both passed their honors. And proud of what God is doing in them. See, but it's a perfect picture of young men and young women growing up in church, stepping into new things. It requires patience. It requires faith. And in our interaction with God, every single thing that we do requires faith and it requires patience. As Mark mentioned, obedience is mixed into that the whole time. We've got to respond to what God says. If it's a time to be patient, we've got to be patient. We've got to stick with it. I'm going to read you just a couple of verses. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Do not allow your hearts to grow dull or to lose enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and their patient endurance. So there are examples written in the Old Testament, the stories that our children are learning right now, the stories that you learned when you were a kid. Why are those stories there? Those stories are there to encourage you, to teach you, to show you that if you have faith and you have patience, you will be able to fully receive what God has promised for you. God has promised for you that you should, not just you can, you should reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. When you find yourself in a gap between being anointed and becoming the king, receiving the promise and seeing the fulfillment of that, in between that gap is faith and there is patience. I want to highlight two stories from the life of David. So as his men travel with him, there's two opportunities where he has the chance to kill Saul. Just think about this for a moment. God has rejected Saul. He said Samuel, the priest, never spoke to the king again. David has been anointed. He's king. And in that gap, sometimes when we are impatient or not patient, we look for opportunities. It says in 1 Samuel 24:4, "Now's your opportunity," the men said to David. "Today the Lord is telling you, I will certainly put your enemy under your power, to do with as you wish." So David crept forward, cut off a piece of the hem of Saul's robe. So they're right there. The opportunity is there. Sometimes we're in this place where we have to wait patiently. When we find ourselves in the gap, the enemy will come with an opportunity, a shortcut, to get you to that promise. We all know how David responds. He does not kill Saul. He cuts off a piece of his garment and later he even repents of that. He said, "I should not have done that." Two chapters later, again, they're in close proximity. "Surely God has handed your enemy over to you this time." One of his warriors said, "Let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I would not need to strike twice." This guy says, "I have the ability. Don't you worry. Just give the word. I will kill him. I won't need to strike twice." His opportunity. And so often, we allow the enemy to deceive us by letting us think that this is the opportunity to get us to the fulfillment of that promise. So a friend, a wife, and a priest, and now it's not the beginning of a bad joke. If they do walk into a bar, it's to go and do an intervention, get the guy out. A friend, a wife, and a priest. While David is in this in-between space, there's one chapter where there's a friend, there's a wife, and there's a priest. And let's look at that. 1 Samuel 19, verse 2, 4, and 6. "Saul now urged his servants and his son Jonathan to assassinate David. But Jonathan, because of his strong affection for David, told him what his father was planning. The next morning, David spoke with his father about David, saying many good things about him. And then in verse 6, so Saul listened to Jonathan and vowed, surely as the Lord lives, David will not be killed. When you find yourself in that in-between space, in the gap, what you need is a friend. You need a friend who will take your side. Jonathan is that friend. Jonathan is the one who comes alongside, who fights for David when David does not have the ability to fight for himself. A friend. Maybe as you're sitting right now, you're thinking, that would be wonderful. It's exactly what I need. I need a friend just to come alongside, just to take my side. Maybe it's a work colleague. I think many of these struggles we find these days is in the workplace. A friend, a work colleague that will take your side, that will fight for you. A wife to protect. A couple of verses later, Saul, after saying you won't be killed, sends the army to go get David. And Saul sent troops to watch David's house. And they were told to kill David when he came out the next morning. But his wife warned him, if you don't escape tonight, you will be dead by morning. So she helped him climb out through the window, and he fled, and he escaped. A wife to protect, a husband to protect, a spouse. We have friends to take us aside. God has blessed us with spouses, and I know that all of us are not in that space. Just as some of us do not have friends, some of us do not have spouses. But for those of us who do have a wife and a husband, God has blessed us with that. That in that space, that difficult space, we can stand together, we can protect each other. But also, what does the enemy do? That is the space where he will attack. Because he can drive a wedge between you and your wife, between you and your husband. The wife, the spouse to protect, suddenly is no longer there. And it becomes more difficult to wait in that space. A priest to lead. So David escaped and he went to Ramah to see Samuel. And he told him all that Saul had done to him. And then Samuel took David with him to live. Nioth. You see, we need a priest to lead us. And we don't have a priest as they had in those days. We have something incredible. We have God Himself in the form of the Holy Spirit being with us. We have access to Jesus, the high priest who lives forever. We have access to the throne of God that we might obtain mercy in our time of need. We have access to a priest. We need a friend. If we have a wife, if we have a spouse, we should cherish that relationship. Most of all, we need to be led by a priest. We need friends to speak into our life spiritually. We need spouses to speak into our lives spiritually. We need each other. We need church leaders to speak into the lives of people. Most importantly, all of that speaking should encourage me to draw near to God, to ask God to lead me and to direct me. I'd like to make three invitations. You might not stand for all of them. I believe you should stand at least for one of them. So we're going to pray for people to have good friends. We're going to pray for the married people around us, that God would protect those marriages so that they could speak into each other's lives. We're going to pray for those who do not have spouses, that God in His grace would fill and cover that gap. And lastly, we're going to pray for spiritual leadership. We're going to pray that God would direct and lead our steps. So I'm going to start with a friend. I don't know where you find yourself, but if this morning you just want to say, that's me, I need a friend, I need someone, maybe I feel isolated at work, there's just no one getting or having my back, maybe at university or at school or wherever you find yourself, or maybe just in general in life, I need a friend who will take my side. Do you want to quickly stand? We want to pray for that before we go forward. If you are in need of a friend, stand up quickly. If you're sitting around someone who's standing, don't you want to just stretch out a hand and put a hand on them so they can just feel that there is someone with them? We've got some people standing here, hasn't got anyone around them. Father, we call on you. Jesus, you yourself, you said, I don't call you servants anymore, I call you my friends. Jesus, you called your disciples your friends. Father, we are in need of that. Pray for everyone who's standing, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would provide. Lord, I remind you of all the seed that these people standing have sown in other people's lives. The times and the moments that they were friends to other people. And we pray, Father, for a harvest of friendship. People who would come around them, say, I believe in you. I want to hope with you. I want to trust with you. I want to be patient with you. I've got your back. I'll take your side. I'll speak up on your behalf. Father, you made us to be like this. So we cry out to you, our Creator. God, you made us for a need for friendship. So we want to trust you that you would provide in that need for us. We thank you for that. Pray that practically you would guide our steps. Pray that practically you would help us not to recoil when someone approaches us because of past hurts. Help us to see friendship around us. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Next, if you are married, your spouse is with you, or even if your spouse is not with you today, don't you want to stand up quickly? If you are married, husband and wife, don't you want to quickly stand up? We will stand up separated. André het nou lang gedink of hy getrouwd is. Ja, jy is getrouwd, André. Do you want to grab the hand of your spouse? You've not done so already. Father, we thank you for the beauty of marriage. Your word declares that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. It's good. It's not good, you said, for Adam to be alone. And you made him a helper to fit with him, to support him. God, this is the closest human relationship that there will ever be. So, Father, we ask for your protection over every marriage. We pray for everyone watching online. Pray for every marriage in our congregation. God, may you protect these marriages, number one. Secondly, Father, I want to pray that the power within these marriages be released. That husbands and wives will protect each other. We'll take a hold of each other during the waiting, during the struggling, during the patient faith times. They would grab a hold of each other and they say, together, we'll do this. God, you made us to stand in these relationships. God, we pray for marriages that are struggling. Maybe just a dry spell, maybe some real trouble. God, we trust that you would intervene, that you would reveal yourself, that you would show yourself. Now, if you're married, I'm going to ask that you stay standing, quickly turn around, and just stretch out your hand to everyone who's seated. Father, we pray for everyone who does not have a spouse. The simple truth is that that's painful. Something went wrong or something never happened. There's pain. So God, we ask that in the name of Jesus, you would be gracious to them. We pray that in the name of Jesus, you would cover the gap. We're reminded of your promise in the prophets that you would be a husband to those who are widowed. You would fill the gap. So where there's no one to protect, God, we ask that you yourself, in your mercy, would step into that space. Bring protection so that when we wait, we will have someone to protect us. You can have a seat. Last one. You find yourself in a space where you say, I need the leading of God. I find myself in that in-between space. I don't have answers for the next step. I need to find a priest. I need the direction and the leading of God. Do you want to quickly stand? Our last prayer, and then we're going to close the service. If you're comfortable to do so, you want to just lift your hands to God, open your arms, and say, God, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that Jesus made a way. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us. We thank you for the beauty of the time that we get to live in. Yes, we can Google it, but more importantly, we have the Holy Spirit right with us. That is the time that we are living in. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would reveal yourself to each one reaching out to you right now. Pray, Lord, that you would lead them step by step. You would guide their steps. Lord, if we read the stories in the Old Testament, without the Holy Spirit, you spoke to them. Moses or David reached out and he said, should I go and attack the city? And you said, yes. The men complained and you reassured them. When they came back, David asked, will they betray us? And God said, yes, God let them. How if you can do that for David while he's fleeing in the desert with a bunch of nobodies? We thank you that we get to live in a relationship with you because of Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is our partner, standing right beside us. And God, I pray that you would reveal the next step, that you would lead us, practically show us. And I pray even right now, that firstly, you would bring peace. And even right now, you would begin to speak with clarity what the next step is. And the next step is just to wait. Give us the grace to wait. If the next step is to do something, give us the boldness. Lead us in the right timing, in the right moment to do that. I pray, Lord Jesus, that now and continuing, as we step out of here, as we meet a friend, as we chat to a spouse, we would sense your leading and the clarity of that leading. And you would bring us to the place where we reign in life. Pray for every difficult, practical situation that we find ourselves in. Pray that you would open doors. We pray that you would shift circumstances. You would change things. You would move and remove people and circumstances and policies, so that we, your children, who trust you patiently, wait on you for the fulfillment of your faithfulness, hold on to your promises, would see those promises break through. We we thank you for that. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. Trust that God would lead you in the week, direct your steps.